Good afternoon, everybody. My name is John Messick, and I'm a program manager on System Center Virtual Machine Manager at Microsoft, and welcome to the session. Today, we're going to be talking about deploying and managing distributed applications using services in System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012 R2. So, session objectives, what are we going to get out of this today? Before we get started, you're aware this is a 200-level course, so I kind of just like to get a quick show of hands of how many of you are new to VMM or don't use it on a regular basis. Just kind of do some leveling here. Okay, probably two-thirds of the crowd, probably. For the rest of you who maybe use it on a daily basis, this may be a little high level for you, but hopefully there will still be something you can get from it. I'm here with my coworker Eric Winter up in the front row here, so he might help out with some questions at the end if you have some tough ones that I can't handle. This session was originally supposed to be presented by a coworker of mine, Kurt Scherer. He and his wife had a 9-pound baby girl on Saturday, so understandably he opted out of Tech Ed this year. So anyway, let's get started. So by the end of the session, hopefully you will learn how to build services in Virtual Machine Manager, but also more importantly, why you want to build services versus not using services at all, which is what many people do today. It's a very underutilized piece of VMM. You'll also understand how to manage multiple tiers, doing scale out, scale in, doing lifecycle management on those tiers through service updates. So, why services? That's what we're going to start with. Very important to understand what's the point of them, why you want to use them, why they're in some ways better, some ways worse, they're different than templates, VM templates, and so forth. And we're going to talk about some of the lower level building blocks that you use to compose both VM templates and service templates. This is another piece of Virtual Machine Manager that people don't often use. But it provides a lot of reusable blocks that make building the higher level applications a lot easier. And then finally, we'll start digging into service templates. We'll show how to design service templates, the components that they're made out of, and then talk about the lifecycle servicing of those services. And that piece is actually fairly complex because we provide a lot of extensibility points for you to manage updates to your service while it's in a running environment. So, VM templates. Some of you may already know about VM templates. It's sort of the de facto standard where you go to in VMM to build out something that you want to deploy. They're a great starting point for VMs. You can build a template, specify your hardware, your guest profiles, disks, and then you can deploy multiple instances one at a time from that template, so it's reusable in that sense. Downsides of VM templates are it's a specification for a single virtual machine. So it has the limitation that, you know, a lot of applications today, they're distributed, they're multi-tier. VM templates aren't going to help you a lot with the lifecycle management of that. And also, they're fire and forget. So once you define a VM template and you create a VM from it, there's no relationship between the template that created the VM instance and the instance itself. Once it's gone, it's gone. Service templates, on the other hand, very similar concept. We take it up a notch. It's a starting point for services. Services define multi-machine distributed applications. So a service, in its essence, is made up of one or more tiers, and each of these tiers looks like a VM, but it's a point of scale out, so you can take, for instance, a web tier or a back-end tier and scale it out to multiple VMs. But one of the most interesting pieces is it's a source of truth, which means that there's a continuing relationship between a deployed service instance and the template that it was created from. So you can go back and do updates to that template and then apply those to a deployed instance and continue with that lifecycle management. So, why services and service templates? Like I said, it's distributed application, consists of tiers, metadata. You get lifecycle management. Composability is another important piece. I already kind of hinted at that, that we're going to be talking about that a little more throughout the session. You can take pieces that you've built and build more complex pieces. Take those pieces and build even more complex pieces so you don't have to design from scratch every time you want to design or deploy a service. Templatized creation, reuse, and distribution. This means that you can take a service template that you've designed, you can export it from VMM, you can take the files that you export, send them off to your dev group or wherever you want, they can import them into a totally different instance of VMM, work on it, export it back out, send it back. You can distribute, you can make these templates available to your users, so self-service users can see these and deploy from them. From the VMM console itself, you can manage services as a single application. Instead of managing 20 VMs that make up an app, you can manage the app by itself, and that includes the lifecycle pieces as well as even basic things like starting or stopping the entire service. And then there's also scale management. You can take individual tiers. You can scale them out as you need to multiple instances. You can scale them back in as you need to. So, building blocks, the 10,000-foot view. Start out with VM templates. That's what pretty much everybody who's worked with VM knows about, or VMM knows about. However, there's lower-level pieces that you can predefine that you can reuse across multiple VM templates or service templates. These include things like hardware profiles. This lets you define what the hardware, what the virtual hardware for a virtual machine looks like. And this is a pretty familiar concept for anybody who's done anything with cloud computing lately. You've got small instances, large instances. That's one way that you can use hardware profiles. And if you think about in most environments, there's probably only 4, 5, maybe 6 different hardware profiles that everybody uses. You know, you got your single proc small instance with a gig of RAM. You've got a 4 proc with, you know, 2 gigs of RAM that's scalable, or that you can have dynamic memory on. With hardware profiles, you can also do things like predefine network connections. So in most real deployed environments, unless you're doing hosting or something, but for enterprise-type environments, you know, you want your VM to connect to a corpnet, or you want your VM to connect to a labnet. So you can define that once in the hardware profile, and then when you go define your VM templates, you don't have to just always do that same thing over and create, connect to the network, and blah, blah, blah. It's just there for you. Similarly, with guest OS profiles, there's probably a lot more guest OS profiles than there are hardware profiles in any given environment. But still, there's a few that you may want to predefine. So in the environment we're going to look at here in a little bit, we've got just your generic 2012 data center instance that automatically joins to a domain. So we have a guest profile for that. It's pretty common. You know, it's just a generic server instance. Also got one for a 2012 R2. Then we have application profiles. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about applications later in the talk. But these are things like DAC packs. These are things like server app V. And there's several different types that we support, and we'll go into those in more detail, and we provide a lot of extensibility points around installing and uninstalling and managing the life cycle of these. And then we also have native support for SQL Server profiles. With SQL Server, you can actually sysprep a SQL Server instance, and VMM has built-in knowledge of how to provision that instance, so you can go in and set up the accounts that you're going to use with SQL Server, as well as connectivity parameters and so forth. So that's the lower level. Now, on the flip side, we've got service templates. A service template, I already said, is one or more tiers, and service tiers originate from a VM template typically. You don't actually have to use a VM template. You can kind of create one from scratch and not use any of the reusable components and just fill out everything, but very, very easy to think of it as a VM template. However, like I said, there's more to it. There's a lot of other metadata around it. There's things you can do to it that you can't with a VM template, such as scaling out or setting affinity properties so that individual instances of a machine in a service tier can be distributed across multiple physical hosts. There's a setting in VMM so that when it's deployed, it'll try to place them on it'll try to place each VM in the tier on a different host. So let's switch over to demo and look at some of the low-level pieces. So this is your front view of VMM. I'm going to switch over to library. And if you look in the library, we've got a couple of high-level sections here. We've got templates, which we'll come back to in a little bit. And then we've got profiles. Now, profiles, there's several others that we're not going to talk about today, but the four that we talked about earlier can be defined in here. So we have guest profiles, guest OS profiles, we've got hardware profiles, application profiles, as well as SQL Server profiles. Now, if I open up one of these, let's say we want to look at hardware profiles. I've already predefined large, medium, extra large. So I'm just going to make a copy of our large one because in our environment that I'm managing here, we decided we actually need an extra large hardware template because we're going to be deploying a lot of VMs that need a lot of iron. So go into properties. And I'm just going to rename that to extra large, go into the hardware profiles, crank that up to, say, 8 proc. And I don't believe that in my previous one I connected the network. I opted to leave it disconnected and allow the higher level pieces to connect the network. However, I can go ahead and come in here and pre-connect it. So anybody who uses this hardware profile, in fact, maybe I'll rename it to Contoso connected hardware VM, so extra large Contoso VM. So now when somebody uses this hardware profile, it'll be connected to the network. Similarly, we have guest OS profiles. I've got just a plain data center for 2012 and 2012 R2, but I've also got a print server, so you can, for those of you who haven't seen this, you can go into your guest OS profile and do some quite fine detailed pieces like join a domain. So each of these profiles, when they're applied and to a VM, they'll actually go and join that VM to a domain as part of the deployment cycle automatically. And another building block, so many people just put in the credentials here, do that, try to maintain that across all your profiles or VM templates, but you can also, of course, create your run as accounts, and that's probably a better way to do it so you have a single point of change and update when you need it. So you can also go in and specify roles and features. So in this particular instance, I've enabled a print server role, so when anybody uses this guest OS profile, it's going to enable a print server. Not super exciting, but shows what you can do here. So now I'm going to go up to VM templates. Again, I've defined two different VM templates, and I could create a VM directly from this, but more interestingly for this talk, I'll use these VM templates later when I'm defining my services. Now, if we go into the properties of VM templates, again, we can see that it's composed, so when I did hardware configuration, instead of going through and defining all the pieces of hardware, I simply selected when I created it which hardware profile I wanted to use and which OS profile. So it was very as easy as doing, let's create one real quick. So I'm going to create a VM template. And I'm just going to use an existing 2012 VHD. So configure hardware. This is where, like I said, this is where people usually come in and fill all this out. Well, I've already predefined the block, so I'm going to just come into my drop-down box here and say, oh, I want this to be a medium VM. Bam, everything's filled out. I'm finished here. And it should be noted that these are fire and forget. So if you go in and change what the definition of that medium VM is, it won't go and update the VM templates. It just makes it's by copy and not by reference. So, and then likewise with the guest OS, I'm going to come in and say that this is a generic 2012 data center. Next. And here's an interesting piece. So if you've ever used VM templates but not used services before, you've probably seen this section here for application configuration. Again, I'm going to wait and go into more detail on this later, but the interesting thing to note here is that this section does nothing if you're just deploying VM templates. This is only useful if that VM template is used in the context of a service. And this is also one of the reasons why it's useful to wrap all of, or most of your VMs, VM templates, in a service, even if it's just a single machine that doesn't do scale out or anything else, because then you get this ability to do application deployment to it. You also get the benefits of the lifecycle management of a service on that single VM. So, you know, unless you're just doing something really, really basic, there's no real reason not to wrap your VM templates in a service template. But if you're not using services, then no matter what you put in here, it's just not going to be used. And then likewise with the SQL Server configuration. And as simple as that, just grabbing a couple predefined blocks, I've got a nice VM template which uses a medium instance of hardware, deploys, joins itself to a domain. I don't remember if the guest OS profile I picked added print server or not, but you can do that. You can do any other kind of customizations you'd like to. So now I'm going to switch over to service templates. I'm not going to dig into these too much yet, but these are some service templates that I have defined. And as you can see, there's, for instance, the cluster demo. We have two cluster demos, and we've got a V1 and a V2. Now, these are related to each other, and when we go to deploy an instance of it, I'll show you more on how you can upgrade or downgrade a service instant based on these service templates that we have here. And I can create any number of these and version them however I'd like. So I'm switching back over to the deck. And we're going to talk about template design. So service templates. We have, again, just reiterating what we've already talked about, what a service template is. Now, question?
Yeah, just a quick question. If we're a vCenter shop, can you import vCenter VMs into VMM and work with those service companies?
We do. It's not really part of this. So the question was, can you import vCenter VMMs into VMM? I think I've said that right. And the answer is yes, but it's not really part of this service. Absolutely. Sure. Yeah, then it's. Yeah. Sure. But just to reiterate, so you have a service template, and it's, as its name implies, a template. It's not a running service. You create services from it, and you can create multiple services from it. Just like a VM template, you can create multiple VM instances. So let's go back into the designer and see what a service actually looks like as you're creating it. So just to start off with, I'm going to go into my service templates and create a new one. And you can create there's some predefined tiers here, one tier, single tier, double tier, three-tier application. Those create blank tiers that you have to go out and fill out. So it's usually what I do is just create a blank one because it's a matter of dragging and dropping to create your tiers. So I'm going to call this Tech Ed demo. And if you notice over on the left, we've got a list of our VM templates that we've already predefined. So I'm going to grab one of my 2012 data center templates and drag it into the workspace, the canvas. And as you can see, it creates a tier. So in the designer, this is a tier. And I'm going to go into the properties of it and rename it and call this our web tier. Sorry, data tier. If we look at the properties of it, there's some interesting things to note. So in the OS configuration, I'm going to name the instances of the VMs that are created from this tier. So we're going to call this Contoso con, let's just call it data tier, data dash pound pound pound. And VMM does a tracking and replacement of the hash symbols into numbers. So the first instance that's deployed will be data dash 001, next one 002. And as this tier scales in and out, it'll keep track of the naming of those and automatically do naming incrementing for you. So if we go back to general properties, there are a couple of interesting pieces here. Actually, I'm going to close this and just show it to you on the canvas. The main properties that you'll usually want to manipulate are shown down here in the details view. So the first piece is this tier can be scaled out. So if you do that, you can define that when this service is initially deployed, it's going to have, say, two instances. Now, the maximum instance count is going to be 5, and the minimum is 1. Now, these are soft limits, so VMM won't keep you from scaling higher or lower than the number that we put in here, but it'll put the service instance into a needs attention state. So if it turns out you're scaling out past what your service template's defined for, then it's going to warn you about it, but it won't keep you from doing it. Now, the next thing that's interesting to look at is the number of upgrade domains. So when you're during the service lifecycle of this service instant, you'll be taking machines offline and putting them online and so forth. Well, you don't necessarily want your whole tier to go down. So if you have more than one instance in the tier, you can create multiple what are called upgrade domains. And VMM, when it goes to do an upgrade that you specify, it will take the VMs in a given tier and kind of bucketize them into however many upgrade domains that you have. So if you define, so here if I say I want 2 upgrade domains and I have, say, 4 VMs to begin with, it's going to put 2 VMs in each bucket. So when it goes to service them, it'll take the first bucket, upgrade, take those machines offline, upgrade it while the other two are still servicing. And then once that bucket is back online and servicing with the updated services, then it'll go to the next bucket, take those offline, so it helps your reliability and lets your tiers stay online. So the next piece is that you can create an availability set for the tier. And if you check this box, this will tell VMM that you would rather, it's not an absolute because you can't always do it, but you would rather all the VMs in this tier be placed on different hosts. So it'll try, we call it anti-affinity. It'll try to place them as far apart as possible, and this is for reliability reasons. Now, if you've got 2 hosts in your environment and you've got 4 VMs that you're deploying, it's obviously not going to be able to put every single instance on a different host. Now, next piece that I want to talk about that we'll go into more detail in a little bit is servicing order. So if I have, for instance, let's create another tier, and let's call this the web tier. Now, when I'm initially deploying this service, it's kind of obvious that you want your data tier to be brought up before you deploy the web tier, because otherwise none of the connections will work and you'll kind of be in some weird state. So that's what deployment order allows you to do. I can specify that this tier has a deployment order of 1 and that the web tier has a deployment order of 2. And just like with the upgrade domains, VMM will sequence these and run them in series. So it'll wait until the data tier has completely deployed and been brought up before it moves on to deploying the web tier. And likewise with servicing, it'll wait until the data tier has been completely serviced before it goes on to the next tier. And you can have any number of these, and you can define multiple tiers at the same level. So you can say that these two tiers are at servicing level 1, and it'll do them in parallel. And likewise with instances within that tier. Make sure I covered everything I want to cover here. Okay, so we'll switch back to the deck. So now we created a template, and we want to deploy it. Now, there's a couple of pieces that happen when you deploy a service. The first is that you need to choose a target host group or a cloud for deploying. If you're a self-service user, you're only going to see cloud option because self-service users can't see individual machines or host groups. And then there's some service settings that you might need to specify. And VMM supports this concept of having custom settings within the service. Things like, say you need to define a SQL Server, some new password or something. I'll show you how to do this in a little bit. You can create these custom properties on the service, and at deployment time, those will need to be filled in. And then there's also some options for default values and whether or not it should be encrypted and some other options. And then you run placement, and VMM will do its best to automatically place VM instances from the service based on the various rules that you've set up, what it actually matches, as well as anti-affinity settings and other pieces. But there's also the option to pin individual instances. So if you have some individual VM that's being deployed as part of your service and you know you want it to be put on a specific host, you can pin that instance to a host. And when placement runs, it'll leave that one alone. And that's what the force settings does. So I'm going to switch back to the demo. We're going to look at doing a deployment. So let me just close out of here. So if we look at our service templates, I'm going to deploy version 1 of the cluster demo. So it's as simple as configure deployment. First step. Pick a name for the instance. And I'm going to place it on all hosts. Now this can all, again, with everything else in VMM, this can all be done in PowerShell, pretty much 100% across the board. So this opens the deployment wizard. And as you notice, there is no suitable host for any of the VMs yet. That's because VMM wants to let you have a chance to do any kind of parameters and pinning that you might want to do beforehand. So I do want to pin, so I'm going to say this VM instance here. Again, this is our SQL tier, and I had specified earlier that I want two instances of it, so now we have two VMs that are going to be deployed. And demo SQL 03, I want to pin to a specific host, so I'm going to pick a host and put it on host 4. Now it's pinned, you can see down here, and so when I run placement, that machine will be sticky to it. So now if I do refresh, placement will run. It'll attempt to place the other pieces. And you've just finished deploying here. There's a couple of other interesting pieces that I want to show you. One of them is the custom settings that I mentioned earlier. I can't seem to get my resize bar working there. So if you look in this column here, domain admin, cluster name, SQL username, These are not properties that are intrinsic to VMM. These were defined within the service, and they are passed back into the service at deployment time and at servicing time. So you can use it in various places, like as a parameter to a pre-installation script or a post-installation script, for instance. And I'm going to go ahead and open instance here. One other piece I wanted to show you, which is new in VMM, is, well, actually there's a couple of pieces. One is when you deploy a VM instance, I don't know if y'all have seen this before, but if you go into the virtual disk, you can specify how to transfer the disk. So there's a couple of new options. One is using fast file copy, and then the other one is using differencing disk optimizations. Fast file copy uses ODX file copying to perform a much faster deployment than we've typically seen with bits transfers. And differencing disk optimization is interesting because we have a new feature in VMM which will allow you to specify a common base disk across multiple VMs. So, for instance, if you're deploying 20 VMs and they all have the same 2012 server base OS disk, now you can deploy a single instance of that disk the first time the first one of those machines is deployed if you specify this flag. And the next time an instance is deployed, it'll use that same disk that's already on the host, so you're not copying any disks over the network. And you're also saving space on the host itself because you only have a single instance, and then we're using differencing disks for the actual individual VMs and disks. So the next piece I want to talk about is service lifecycle. At a high level, what happens is create a template, which we've already done. And this is just kind of a generic, this happens every time. You create a template, customize deployment, you deploy it, and you end up with a service instance. However, that's not the end of it because we want to do full lifecycle management. So then you update a template, you take that updated template, you apply it to a service instance, and then you deploy it. And you can do this over and over again. So at a high level, this is what happens. You kind of probably already gathered that from what we've talked about before, but you need this kind of background to understand the next couple of slides. So now we're going to talk in a bit more detail about the deployment process and where we provide custom hooks for you to run scripts and so forth within the deployment. So what happens is for each service at deployment time, the tier that is deployed first is picked based on the deployment order, which we saw earlier. And then for each of those, we create a new VM from template for every VM in the tier. We power on and wait, and then at some point the VM comes up. We install the VMM guest agent. And then here's the first interesting part. We're getting ready to install the set of applications that are associated with that VM instance. So there's a place that you can specify that you want a particular script to be run, and you provide the script to us in the service template, and we'll take that script and inject it into the VM guest and execute it at this point. And you can pass parameters in so you have knowledge of which VM instance is being installed, which applications are being installed, and so forth. So after we call that, we call the next script, and this happens for every application within that VM. So you could have multiple applications, like you could have a SQL DAC pack, you could have a server app V application, you could have multiple of them. So for each of those, we call a pre-install GCE, which is a generic command execution script. Kind of lost it there for a second. So we call this generic command execution script. Then we deploy the service. We deploy the application instance, and then we call a post install GCE, which again is provided by you. And these are all optional, but it gives you many hooks into each of the steps as we deploy the various pieces of a service. And we do that for every single application. And then once all the applications are done, we call a post-install script that's basically that runs once after all the applications are installed. If the VM is hooked to a load balancer, we attach it at this point, and we're done. And then we just iterate on the process and go across each tier using the rules that the deployment order rules that we defined. No, we have, let's see, what do we have? We have server app V applications. We've got web deploy applications. What other kinds do we have? I have a list here in a little bit. We'll get to it in a second. Yeah.
So if I had a product that was an
executable, I don't believe we do for this.
We support running one script and yeah. We don't inject the payload.
So the question just for the recording was, do we support Linux? And the answer is that we support injecting one script and we don't support injecting payloads. Okay, so the next piece is custom service settings. I showed you how those surface up when you deploy an instance of an application. And the syntax of these is simply percent, name a property, whatever you want, in percent. And if you define those in the various places, like as a parameter to your script, VMM will recognize those automatically and then bubble them up so that they're visible at the service template layer. They can be used for profiles, scripts, and so forth. There's two types of custom service settings, mostly just strings, or you can also do run as accounts. And VMM will automatically go and look and figure out which type is appropriate based on the context of where you use it. In addition to custom ones that you define, there's a number of predefined ones that you can use using the same syntax, percent. For instance, percent service name, percent will give you the service instance name, service ID, tier name, a whole bunch of them. So the question was, is this deployment process using any of the other pieces of the System Center suite? And no, it's not using any of the other pieces of the System Center suite, but of course there's Hyper-V pieces and so forth that we're using. But we're not using Orchestrator or anything like that. Yeah. So now we're going to go back to demo and look at service template lifecycle hooks. Close out of where we are here. I'm going to open up the cluster demo in the designer. And then I'm going to open up a tier. Now, if we go into application configuration for this one, we can see that we actually have some scripts that we've defined as hooks. So you can define any number of these you want, and you can define multiple of them for each stage of the deployment. And when you create one, if you look here, there's a script command type, and there's any number of these, and these correspond to the pieces we just looked at in the slide deck. So post-install, pre-install, when VMs are deleted, and so forth. Now, there's another interesting one that I hadn't talked about yet, which is creation for first VM in a tier and creation for VMs after the first one. Now, this is a piece that's been added to support things like clustering of guests. So now you can say, when you deploy a tier in a service, the first instance of a VM in that tier is going to have a different script run than every other instance. In this case, what's happening is the very first script that runs creates a cluster. All the other instances, when we do scale out, they run a script that join themselves to that cluster instance. So you can see how it's useful to have different scripts run depending on whether it's the first VM or not. And then we also have, for deleting VMs, we have all of them up to the very last one to be deleted, and then you can run a different script there as well. It's basically to break down the cluster, for instance. And there's another piece that I hadn't shown you before. If we go into the hardware configuration, I'm going to look at the disks. So in addition to our IDE disks, we've got a couple of disks on the SCSI adapter. Now the interesting piece here is there's now a setting called Share the Disk Across the Service Tier. Now when you check this box, every instance of a VM in this tier is going to point to that same instance of the VHD. So this is basically a cluster shared volume if that's what you want to use it for. So this is really neat. So now you can create full-on guest clusters without any kind of external support for synthetic fiber channel or any of the other pieces. Okay, service instances. We've already talked about tiers can be scaled up and down, services show VMs, actions can be performed at the various levels, so you can use abstraction. You don't have to work at the individual VM level for any kind of maintenance tasks you're doing. You can, but you know, you can take it up a level and work at the service tier, at the service level or the tier level to work on a whole set of VMs at once. So I'm just going to show that really quickly. Close the designer, switch over to the VMs and services view in VMM, and I'm going to switch to services. Now you can see that we have an instance of the SQL cluster. This was the service template that we were just looking at, and I can do things at the cluster level like shutting down, stopping, starting, and that'll apply to every VM in the service. But then we can also look at a tier and do things like, okay, well, this tier has two instances. I'm ready to scale out. So this is where you just say, okay, ready to scale out, select the tier. In this case, we only have a single tier, so that's the one we'll be scaling out. Shows your minimum and maximum, so we're going to be violating that if we deploy another instance, but it'll warn us. So the tier already contains the maximum number of virtual machines, but it'll still let us do it in case, you know, there's a crisis, you need to get that out there. I'm going to skip the computer name. Select host, configure settings. Nothing really too exciting past this point. Just shows how you can scale out. So I'm going to cancel out of that. And scaling in is as simple as selecting a VM and deleting it. I'm not going to do that because I want to keep my nodes right now. So, template updates. So we've got a template. We've got a service instance deployed, and we want to update it. So you take an existing template and you either modify that and version it, or you copy it, and VMM is aware that those are associated with each other, and then you can version it from there. If you have deployed instances off of a service template, it's locked for writing, so you can't modify it. You actually have to create a new instance of it. And then you make your changes. There's two types of updates that happen when you're servicing service instances. First one is in-place updates. This is pretty much anything besides modifying the OS itself, the OS image. So this is hardware template changes, changing services, pretty much anything. But VMM has to treat it differently than if you're actually updating the OS, because when you're updating the OS image, there's a whole other workflow that needs to happen. We have to back up the state of applications and then restore them. And there's a couple of ways that happens. One is the generic command execution scripts that I told you about. There's hooks in there that you can do your own backup, say, to like a network share to save the state of an application. Or if it's a server app V application, VMM already knows how to handle those. So I'll show you the workflow in a minute on that, but it just kind of automatically happens for you. Or your applications could be stateless, in which case you don't really care and nothing needs to happen. So to apply updates, you associate a new template with a service, and it'll only let you associate templates that are in the family, so to speak. You can't just take some random service template and apply it to an existing service instance. Then you apply the update. And when you apply the update, that's when this next process happens. So there's two different processes that happen depending on the type of updating you're doing. So we'll talk about in-place updates first. And the reason I'm kind of going through these over and over again is because once you start deploying your own applications, it's key to understand the process here, because this is where you hook in with your custom logic. So again, just like when we do the initial deployment, we select tiers based on deployment order, serialize the deployment or serialize the processing of them, remove. This is a new step because we didn't have a load balancer for an initial deployment because it wasn't there yet. But we remove the VM from the load balancer if there is one. We run the first custom script that you provide us, and this is the application profile level. So this is run before the whole set of applications. Then we run a pre-uninstall GCE, and this is where you would save your state. This is where you would do any kind of cleanup you need to do. You don't need to probably save a state. It's because it'll still be on the box, but you could if you wanted to take it off on network share or something. Then we uninstall the application, and then we run yet another hook that's post-uninstall. And then we do the basic process we did when we did the initial installation. We run a pre-install GCE, which you provide. We install the application, then we run a post-install GCE. Now we do these six set of steps iteratively for every single application in the service, in the VM. And then we run a post-install GCE. Add the VM back to the load balancer, and we're done. So this is pretty straightforward. There's a couple of more steps. I'll show you in just a second if you can hold on. The question was, what bundles these steps together and where do you specify them? And I'll go back to the demo in a second and show you that. And if I forget, please remind me. Okay, so image-based update process. Starts out exactly the same. Select VMs based on deployment order, et cetera, et cetera. So here's the first new piece. After we remove the VM from the load balancer, we add a data disk. This is just something we inject in. And then we do custom scripts for storing state. And this is the piece where, since the whole VM is going to be coming down because we're replacing the OS, this is where you would want to serialize your state and put it out on some store somewhere. Then we natively do server app V backups, and that's what the data disk is for, because we take the server app V state, put it on that temporary data disk as a backup. Then we replace the OS disk, do customizations, and then basically go in and reinstall applications with the extra piece of restore state. So we do server app v restores, which means we go out to that temporary disk we mounted, pull the server app v state back, and restore it. So if you're using server app v applications, you don't have to do anything for it to kind of just work. And then we call your application apply state GCE. And this is where you would go back to wherever you stored the state for your application, pull it back down, and reapply it. And this is iterative. It will go over every application just like in the previous steps. And then we add it back to the load balancer. And then at that point, we're done. So I'm going to switch back and do a updating services demo. So I'm going to go back to the library. And we have two versions of the cluster demo already. And I believe that we're already on cluster demo version 2. If I go back to the VMs and services view, it'll show us here, and yes, indeed, we are on version 2. So if I go back to the library, I'm going to version this because, hey, I've decided that this application isn't quite right. I'm not going to go into doing the individual applications. I'm just going to do tier level changes because it's a lot quicker. Oops. So I'm going to copy. There's copy 2. I'm going to edit it. Rename it to V3 for my own bookkeeping. Doesn't really matter, it's just a string. And just a real quick change, I'm going to go in and what can I change? I'll bring it up in the editor in a minute. So we're at cluster demo version 3. I'm going to open the designer, go to my SQL tier. And if you notice, this is set up to use 12 CPUs, and that's kind of ridiculous. So I'm going to downgrade that because it turns out we don't need that much horsepower. So I'm going to hardware configuration. And I'm getting back to your question in just a minute about where we hook into those scripts. Let's downgrade this guy to, say, 4. Now if we go look in the application configuration for this tier, so if you remember when we were looking at the process for the scripts, there's sort of two buckets of scripts. There's the ones that are global to the tier, and then there's the ones that are per application. So the global ones are just down here, and you can simply add another one. So if I go to add script, I can say I want this script to run at pre-uninstall. And I provide it an executable and parameters. And the actual scripts themselves come in a resource package, in a custom resource. I've got a number of them defined here, so I can just pick one of these, and this will get injected into the guest. And I'm not sure if you all are familiar with custom resources or not. I can open up File Explorer real quick and go into the, actually, do it from here. Save the changes. Oops, I think I did not save the changes. Let me modify that real quick. Otherwise, it won't actually apply any different. So VMM is very smart about going and looking and seeing what actually changed, so it won't run the full set of steps if nothing changed, for instance, if the service instance hasn't changed. Let me just change number of procs. Close it. We're doing okay on time. So if I go into my library and look out on the library share, explore. Here are my custom resources, and really all it is a folder with scripts in it. So I've got a subfolder for first script, second, and the rest of the scripts, and this is basically all it's doing is launching PowerShell and running an arbitrary PowerShell script. In this case, the first one runs some PowerShell commands to create the cluster, and the next ones join the cluster.
So if you had a series of custom resource scripts, you wanted to plug the multiple service templates, you could bundle that update into an application profile or some larger reusable container?
So the question was, if you have a set of scripts that you want to use across multiple service instances, then you would do that at the VM template level. So if you remember at the beginning of the talk when we were looking at VM templates, there was that section that I said, there's some stuff here that if you don't ever use services, it'll never actually do anything. That's the same UI that we were just looking at. So you could apply it there. And so then if you can reuse that same VM template across your service templates, then you would get that reuse of those scripts. Did that answer your question?
Well, where I'm going is I'm trying to think of like an ISV software producer wanted to use service templates to help deliver their application to customers in a method that was friendly with SAVMM. How could they also deliver updates?
That's interesting. So, like I said, I showed you earlier how you can export. I'm not sure if I actually ran through it. No, I don't think I did. But you can export the service template and all the resources associated with it, and so you can bundle those up. However, it's a very open book, and I'm not sure if many ISVs want to be shipping their raw scripts. Could possibly. So, if you were asleep, you're not asleep now. Help? but that's interesting. If you want to chat later afterwards, because there might be some use cases and maybe something we can add to the product if it turns out something that's really useful. We'll see. Yeah, sure. I should have kept the designer open. I'm going to switch back real quick. Sorry if it's getting a little bit tedious, but if I go back into my library, go back up into service templates, let's take another look at that cluster demo. So if you notice, this everything was kind of the global scripts. Oh, sorry, I need to open it in Designer. So there were no applications in this particular service tier. It was all just scripts. However, I'll add a application just to show you what it looks like. So now if I go into application configuration, so these scripts here are sort of the global tier scripts for when the first VMs deployed and the rest of the VMs. The per application part, there's no application, so I'm going to actually add an application. So let's just add a web application. And yeah, I got like a report viewer here. So now that I've got an application in here, I can come in, go to that particular application and add an application script. So this will happen just for this application. And that's the steps we have are when the pre-install application, post-install, save state, restore, and so forth, all those that we looked at in that diagram. So this is where you would define the per application scripts as well. Or rather, this is where you would reference them. They would actually be defined in a custom resource in your library. So finally, I'm going to just apply this new service template version to an existing service. So let's go back into VMs and services to our running instance. I'm going to right-click it, and I'm going to select Set Template. Now I've got some other templates defined in my system. However, when I go to browse, the only ones I see are the cluster demos because VMM tracks that. It's not going to let you put some totally different shaped service and apply it to this, or service template and apply it to this service. So we're at version 2, so I can select version 3, hit OK. There's a couple of interesting pieces here. The first one is I can go backwards, too. It's not a forward progression. If I deploy version 3 here, and it turns out there's some issues with it, I can roll back. I can just select version 2, and as long as the scripts are intelligent enough to know how to you know, put the state back to where it was, then you, you can roll back to a previous version. And let's hit next. The next interesting piece is, although I'm setting this up and applying, or sorry, let me skip to the next one. So I'm associating this service instance with this new version. I'm not actually applying it yet because I may not want to do this till I come up onto a servicing window. So I'll set it now, and the service will go into a in process of updating state, basically. Optionally, you can apply it right now if you don't care if your service goes down right now. So you can check this checkbox. The other piece that's interesting here is, again, VMM is very intelligent about understanding what actually changed. So if we look here, the only thing that changed across all of that service was the CPU count. So we do set VM CPU count, and that's all that's going to get executed. So all the per application scripts, you know, all that heavyweight stuff, that's not going to happen when I deploy this. So I'll deploy, or excuse me, when I set it. So now you can see that's in a pending service state. So comes time where my servicing window is open, I just right-click and do apply template. And at that point, it'll actually go out, show me what's going to change. I hit OK. And now it's applying those changes. And it does have to stop the VMs because it's changing the CPU count. Updates them, and now we've got a new instance of our server, or a new version of our service running. And like I said before, you can actually roll back state as well. I'm not going to show that because it's not really that interesting. It's basically the same thing we just did, except going back to version 2. And I believe that's all we have to show you today. Welcome to take any questions now. Anybody has anything?
SVMM is really not a useful tool in an Azure IaaS environment.
Do you want to talk about that one? It's a good question.
Yeah, that's a good question about Azure. So there's some work we're doing in this release to deliver the Azure symmetry, which is the whole virtual machine role that we didn't talk about here. We're doing IaaS on-premise with the R2 releases, where we do have more symmetry with Azure around VM sizes, and we have a new format for doing a single-tier scale-out. It's not actually in Azure yet. It's first coming in R2. Otherwise, we do have a product called App Controller that from System Center that lets you see your Azure deployments as well as your on-premise deployments. You deploy that tool on-premise, and you can connect it to service providers running Windows Server and System Center, to your Azure subscriptions, and to your on-premise System Center. So we do have a tool that lets you see and manage all your VMs there. It's constrained by what Azure supports today, which is standalone VM, but...
Great. Anybody else?
I read that I should be looking at using service templates even for single VM deployments.
That's correct. So,
right, 'cause I'm not going to rip the OS up under whatever it is I just deploy later.
No, but if you look at things like even the hardware profiles, so if you want to update hardware profiles later based on those template, those instances, that's a good reason to be able to install those custom applications. That's probably one of the bigger ones, actually, because none of those custom applications will run if you're just deploying it from a VM template. But if you wrap it in a service template, then all of a sudden you get that whole execution piece with all the custom applications, the SQL provisioning, and so forth. So that's probably one of the more realistic reasons why you would want to.
My question is kind of like, if my lowest common denominator is just a single VM, mm-hmm. then I want to do a multi-tier deployment. You know what I mean? It's a lot of work to put in to build that template, just to use it maybe once every 50 times.
It looks like a lot of work probably in the demo, but it's actually, you're not doing any more work than if you didn't do the other pieces, because you know you're defining the hardware profile, you're defining this, you're defining this. There's a little bit more at the service template level, but you know, once you've done it once and kind of gotten a feel for what you're doing, it really, there's really hardly any more overhead of doing the whole to the service. And you know, it just depends. You know, in your case, if you're not doing any kind of custom application deployment or anything, and you don't need to worry about the lifecycle management, then you know, maybe there isn't any reason to go to that next level. But going the opposite direction, like having those hardware profiles and the guest OS profiles, I still think those are pretty universally useful.
And the other thing is, there's no way to start using templates. You can't retro, pull them back in. The 300, 400 I've already deployed, they're kind of out there on pilot now.
What's on the VMs themselves?
That I've just deployed as a regular standalone.
Oh, that's true, yeah. So if you decide, the comment was, if at some later point you decide to move to services, but you've already deployed a bunch of standalone VMs, they're sort of orphaned and on their own and can't participate in this sort of new services world. That's correct, actually. I'm not sure if we really put much thought into if there's anything we could do about that or if that's a common scenario. But
yeah, we've had it on our list of instance harvesting or some sort of association. It's just never bubbled to the top.
I think there was something over here.
Is it possible when you deploy a service template for it to go out and create the VM networks for each instance, or do you have to always pre-create the network and then specify it when you create the instance?
That's getting a little beyond my knowledge. I don't believe you can within the service.
Right now you can pre-create the networks, and in the service template you can parameterize the network setting and people can make their selection, but we don't have anything right now that in the envelope of service template creates any networking.
Yeah, because if you wanted your tiers on separate networks for more isolation, right, then it sounds like you'd have a lot of these little networks, you know, just connecting your app tier to your data tier.
And you can delay, so you can create the lower levels, like the hardware profile, without connecting any VM any VM networks. So you can still reuse those at the higher levels. You still have to go create your VM networks manually, but you don't have to have a hardware profile, for instance, for every single VM network you have. So you can delay that pulling them together.
Thanks.
The Azure pack for Windows Server is coming out later this month.
Azure.
Is that, we plan to deploy that on-premise. Is that based on VMM and service templates behind the scenes?
So the Windows Azure pack, what it exposes for the multi-VM roles is not the same as VMM service templates. The team that built VMM service templates is the same team that built the new Windows Azure pack virtual machine role technology. So conceptually, they're very similar, but they're not the same thing, mostly because we took the virtual machine role, and that's something that's on the trajectory of consistency across all the clouds. So that's something that we had to take a fresh look at. We're still using both in this current release R2. We're delivering VMM, actually all the System Center components as service templates. So for the short term, we will have both. We don't really have a story of whether one goes away or the other. But
will we be able to expose the other service templates we make on that same portal? Different offerings besides the ones that are there.
Today, the built-in portal exposes just the virtual machine role templates, which are limited to a single tier.
Okay.
There's some flexibility to do add-ons in that environment, but we don't have any plans right now to do a service template exposure there.
Okay, thanks.
Back here? That's correct.
Can you apply some rules? So the rules can be applied on a tier that starts with something, but you execute a rule and say through condition, then you say the tier started.
We don't support anything like that at the moment. It's really just based on the placement order. That's actually interesting. Can you? What would be a use case for that?
Because, like, we have a tier, you create all the indexes, takes a little bit of time. They want to wait until everything's complete and then figure out, okay, I'm done. Now my thing is up and running. The other loop on synchronizes and it's all running. So once it's done, then we want to enable the rest here to come up.
Well, so the deployment sequence does do that. It linearizes it. So you can say, don't start your whatever tier until this tier is finished. So it does linearize it in that sense just by the numbering order.
We process all those in template scripts.
That's right.
So if your last script, if you can write a script to wait for it, or if just part of your deployment is creating indexes and you're monitoring that, you can control when tier one stops. There is a bunch of all of the deployments of all of the tiers, all the VHD copying happens in parallel. And then we actually create the VMs in parallel. And then all we wait, we then do the in-guest. The in-guest config is what's made sequential by deployment order, even though deployment sounds like VHD copying. There are some optimizations in there to try and get the whole service up as fast as we can, but try and obey the order that you've specified. So yeah, the question's about service SPF, our API. So SPF has an API for VM templates, for the standalone VMs. SPF has an API for the new virtual machine role work that we did as part of the Windows Azure pack, and SPF does expose VMM service templates. So we have a REST API for all of this. The portal that we put on top today does not expose the VMM service templates. Resto data, yeah, the API is, yes.
Great. Got one over here?
At the end, when you did a refresh,
yes.
Can you tell us to do a rolling update so that it takes all the servers down at once? Is there one that we...
So this is the sequencing that we were talking about. Within a tier, you can specify that there's upgrade domains, so you can say, let's create 5 upgrade domains, and if you've got 10 instances in that tier, it'll bucketize them and just do one upgrade domain at a time, so the others will still be running until the previous one is finished deploying. Anybody else?
There was some interesting integration issues with VMware when 2012 came out, and I'm stuck on 4.1, and I'm trying to, you know, I'm a Windows guy, I love System Center, but I'm also a VMware guy, sometimes because it's very difficult. Just bringing in a template, I have to get into PowerShell. It's insane, right? Mm-hmm. So you guys had me stuck on 4.1 for a while, and then I finally was waiting for SP1. It was in beta. I didn't get it. Got it. It's 5.1. It doesn't do 5.0. It's a little dirty, and I understand it's, you know, you guys are fighting a virtualization war of sorts, but this piece is a really big part of me selling this to the rest of my company.
Service templates is?
No.
VMware support.
And yeah. Vsphere,
yeah.
And oh. So I'm wondering if there's thought into this, because it's a big selling point for you guys, you know, to try to win this over. It's important to some of us VMware guys who want this to work. And
yep.
I don't know if you guys are digging into that, because it seems like an opportunity for you guys to take some more market share in this. Your cloud product is, frankly, better than VMware's.
Right.
But the integration with it isn't so hot.
Right.
Thought in that vein? Or?
Yeah, I mean, we take it seriously, right? We're doing it. I think the biggest thing you're seeing is matching up release cadences. So when we're doing a release, we're tracking what's out there, and then if shortly after our release VMware revs, then we don't always have the opportunity to hit the cadence that we'd like on that. And I think that's really all you're seeing there is just it's a bunch of mismatched cadence. We are looking at what we can do to make that a little more modular or ease the burden there so we can track their schedule better, but we don't really have an answer.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a bummer because you guys were going to do 5 and then not really.
I know.
Yeah,
and most, I mean, from what we can tell, most VMware customers seem to upgrade quickly. So that's one of the reasons they make you. So that's one of the reasons when we have a chance, we aggressively move to the latest version, and deprecation of the older version is typically more of a support statement than what will or won't work. And for us, again, that just constrains. We tighten our testing window there to their latest version when we're shipping so that we can sync up and not spend too much cost there, because it seems like the VMware customers are moving forward aggressively. But I know, yeah, you guys do get stuck depending on how the releases line up.
And another annoying question, Linux, right? I'm not a Linux guy, but I have to deal with the freaking Linux team, and they're, you know, in my ear about Linux deployment and this or that. You know, I see a lot coming along in Hyper-V with Linux, but it's still tough, again, VMware, and then Linux application deployment stuff.
Yep.
I don't know really what the heck they're doing, but I just know they're annoyed with it. Is there thought into Linux application deployment?
Mm-hmm.
Or more, you know, are you better off being in Hyper-V probably in that space?
No. So the Linux, we do support the Linux work. One of the reasons we prioritized not carrying the Linux payload from our library was most of the Linux deployments go pull stuff RPM, pull it off the net, and all that kind of stuff. So that's the main reason we didn't really deliver on it. There's no missing capability per se, because the channel we use to push stuff in works for any Hyper-V guest. That was, again, more of a look at the problem of how to solve it and do a little prioritization there. But most people just pull stuff out or building it into the VHD. Didn't seem like, you know, both sides of that were, seemed like the Linux community would accept either one of those. So that's one of the reasons we made that constraint on the Linux side as well, is it wasn't as useful as it is for the Windows, where you need to inject some payload.
Hey, anybody else? I think we're out of time now, so I appreciate y'all coming out. And if you have time, we'd really appreciate some feedback, what you thought the leveling was for this session and everything. So have a good afternoon.